Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators President and CEO Sean Henry. Sean, what's going on, man? How we doing?
What's going on? I don't know. What about you guys?
Not much.
Pretty quiet week.
Boring week.
Yeah. Pretty good stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Boring week, you know, just a legend here or there. Outdoor games, happens all the time.
Yeah, just par for the course. Sean, what was that like for you last night to watch Pekka get his jersey retired? Obviously, you were on stage while it was happening. I know that was one of the coolest moments I've ever gotten to witness in that building. Just what was the entire night, from the ceremony to putting it all together to watching Pekka up there on stage? What was that like for you?
Yeah, it's hard to express, honestly. You know, like you said, it was the best moment I've ever had in that building. And I've had a lot of really good moments. We all have. And there's something different about, you know, working with that guy and seeing him come out of that the Pred head last night. You thought you had it together. You knew it was going to happen. Be a great speech here or there. People will go nuts. And then when he came through the Pred head with the smoke going, and the place was just electric. It exploded. And I'm not that emotional, but when he came through, it was really hard to hold it together. And then, all the speeches were exceptional. But when he gave his, and when he gave the shout-out to Mikey, his best buddy, it was hard. I mean, it really, really was. You guys know me pretty well. I'm rarely speechless. But I am right now trying to describe, you know, what it was like. And I think there were, 18,000 people, or close to 18,000 people last night that felt the same way. But the most special thing of all, you know, being a parent myself, was watching his parents and his sisters and his fiance just kind of look at him the whole time he was talking while he was sitting there, with each great moment that went up, to really enjoy it as much as anyone. So it was... It was something, yeah. So don't ask me that again, because I don't like being speechless.
Yeah, Pekka was like Barbara Walters or Roy Firestone doing an interview, like making everybody cry, man. You know, he was
right.
Getting it done out there. You know, So the planning of this and putting all this together, how would you describe that process? Smooth? Difficult? What's it been like to get ready for this? Not just last night, but also, of course, this entire week.
You know what? It was actually pretty easy. And I say that because when you deal with someone like Pekka, his goal is to make everything easy for everybody. I mean, he just is a different type of person. And then, you know, his guests for the night are very similar in that regard. You know, Shay and Chemo and all the alumni that came in. They're different types of people, and not different types of athletes. They're different types of people where, you know, unlike so many of us, you know, they strive to make things better and easier for everybody. So it was, you wanted to make sure you did it well. You wanted to make sure you captured it correctly. But, you know, from Wednesday afternoon's lunch, you know, through planning the ceremony to practicing to rehearsals, it was just really, really enjoyable. And, you know, for myself, on those big nights, I try to remove myself and step back a little bit. And, you know, people jump all over me all the time for being a micromanager. But in this, I really did just remove myself because I wanted to enjoy it as well. And our staff just did such a great job. You know, our events team, game ops team, you know, they were as excited as anyone, you know, to do a great job. And they sure did. And then, as you said, you know, rolling into Saturday, very similar thing. You know, on this, we give up a little bit of control, you know, to Nissan Stadium and the NHL events department. But, you know, our marketing department, our events team, our game ops team, you know, they'll be felt throughout it as well. So it's been a lot of planning over the past 9-10 months building up to this week. And that's really what it is. Somebody said to me, I bet you wish you separated the two. I bet you wish you retired Pekka's, you know, number in November and the big day in February. And I've never felt that way. I just thought, you know, a player of that, you know, size, that magnitude, that impact on the city deserved a lot more than just, you know, 20-minute ceremony. And that's what we have. It's a week-long celebration. And then when we drop that statue on the plaza, you know, sometime next year, it's an opportunity to do it all over again.
Sean, what to that point, like what's this week mean for the franchise in terms of, number one, you've gotten two wins this week so far, so going for three tomorrow against Tampa Bay, but just basically a celebration of hockey this week with Tampa coming in tomorrow, Pekka and what all he means to the city. How do you kind of put into words what this week means for your franchise?
You know, Rob, you just hit right on the head. It's a celebration of hockey, you know, for the whole week. And when I say celebration of hockey, I mean a celebration of our fans, and I know you did too. But this is such great recognition, you know, for what our fans have done, what they've built in our community, with our city, with our fans, with our players. And it really celebrates the connection we have between the franchise and the fans. And, you know, when they saved the team back in 07, it was probably a mixture of civic pride and, you know, I like the team. You fast forward to, you know, 14, 15 years later to today, and it's a true rewind to that moment of, you know, Governor Bredesen and his wife holding up that sign of, you know, I know it was Jeremy Govers, by the way, so I got to get that in there.
It was.
But it was, you know, keep your damn hands off my team. And it's just been so nice to relive a lot of those high points since that moment. And that's what it's about to me. It's our fans being put on stage again, like they were in 03, 2016, 2017. And what we did in Dallas, you know, just 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, but, you know, we had the most fans ever for, you know, an away team. I mean, that's insane when you think about the size of our city and how young our team is. The league loves this team. They love our fans. And this is one more example of them saying, take this event, make it your own, and do something bigger than the normal stadium series. And that's what we're doing as a city. You know, unfortunately, last night's party in the park was canceled because of rain. But it'll be up and running today at 3 o'clock, and it'll roll right through tomorrow.
So, Sean, as you can imagine, we've done some discussion today of, you know, retiring numbers, what are the standards, who else may be up there someday, which is a nice prelude to July Mount Rushmore discussions in Sports Talk Radio. But I'm just wondering, first of all, on the statue – Would this mean that anyone in the future who gets a number retired would also get a statue? And then also, can you give us any, you know, insight just on a particular criteria when you guys are talking about retiring? I mean, Pecorino, everybody can agree it's a no-brainer. He's the first one. He's the greatest player. But are there written out like criteria for that as you consider other players moving forward?
You know, Joe, you make me feel so incompetent because, no, we did not bring any criteria out. Because let's face it, if we did, following Pekka's ceremony leading into it, we probably only have one person ever retired their number because he's so special and he's so unique. And, again, he's one of the greatest goaltenders in the history of the game, and he's the best person any of us have ever encountered off the ice. So I don't think we should use him as the standard for everyone in the future. Fortunately, his number is hanging from our rafters, and every player that ever plays for us will look up to that and ideally aspire, you know, to what he did on and off the ice. But no, you know, we're just over 20 years old now as a franchise, so we're going to have the opportunity to look at a lot of guys' careers now that spent the bulk of, if not their entire career, with the team. And, you know, at some point you recognize, gosh, is he qualified? Is he the right guy? You know, should we, you know, put his number out of circulation and then have all of our fans and players look up to that number, you know, for all time? But that's how you do it. You know, it's somewhat tangible, somewhat intangible. But we're very lucky. There are guys on this team right now that if they continue on the trajectory of what they're doing in the community and on the ice, you assume there'll be a few more numbers up there. I mean, I know you did a great job in your column last night or this morning, whenever it was, laying out who else it should be or could be. And that's what it is. It's who else could it be? And that's what's fun. You know, my kids always make fun of me because every time they fall in love with a player in any sport, they say, Dad, do you think you can go to Hall of Fame? And they'll finish their own sentence. They say, well, got to wait till the career's over. And it's true. I mean, there are a lot of guys that come out of the blocks, you know, at 22, 23, 28 years old, and you think, my gosh, they're going to, you know, hit 900 home runs. They're going to have, you know, 900 goals. They're going to do, you know, whatever, you know, 100 shutouts. But until a guy's career is over, it's really hard to say if they deserve that ultimate honor. But for Peck, it was really easy to figure out he did. And we also realized it, you know, many years ago, too.
Sean Hendry on the line with us here, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say, Phil McConkey got hosed, by the way. Just want to throw that out there.
You know what? I'm shocked by that because, you know, the Yankees and the Giants, all the New York teams, they're retired. I'm just surprised my number's not retired for one of them. But, yeah, that catch, you know, both Bavaro and he should be retired together. Like, just run the numbers together, you know, four numbers.
That's right. Sean, we've joked about this with you before because it feels like in the past, like every time you guys have put on a big event, we're always like, okay, well, what's next? And we've been asking you about, you know, an outdoor hockey game here in Nashville for years. Obviously, every team in the league wants to host an outdoor hockey game. What was kind of the process like of getting it here, bringing it to Nashville, and what do you think it's going to be like tomorrow as you take on the Lightning?
You know, what's awesome about that, and there was never a question of if we're going to host an outdoor game. It was a matter of when. And I remember Gary Bettman, when we announced we were doing the All-Star game, probably in 2014 or 2015, the first question I asked, maybe it was by you, somebody said, when are we getting an outdoor game? And he laughed. And he said, well, can we have the All-Star game first and then pick the date for the outdoor game? So even then, he was acknowledging it's going to happen, you know, because our fans made it, you know, something that we had to do. And we have our own challenges. You know, this whole week, the storyline's been on, you know, rain and the weather and the warmth and the wind. But the NHL team does a great job, and we're going to, you know, really, really good ice tomorrow. We'll practice, you know, later today. But it was never a question of whether or not we were going to do one. It really was a matter of when we're going to do it. And when the league called us almost a year ago and said, look, we have an opening for 2021. Do you want to do it? We just laughed and said, of course we're going to do it. Because, you know, to be featured in one of those tentpole events, from the draft in 03 to the All-Star Game 16 to earning our spot in the Stanley Cup to being selected to play in Europe, which should have been, you know, this past fall, to hosting the Stadium Series, you know, Nashville is loved by our league because our fans make it such an easy, special place to celebrate our great game.
Just on the hockey front, Sean, obviously, again, two really big wins. I mean, this week would be great for the franchise, for the city, for hockey, regardless. But two really important wins, too, for this team. What has this season been like from your perspective watching this team really overachieve relative to outside expectations?
You know, it's funny. I love the team that we have. I love how we play, who we are, what we are. I like the fact that our coaching staff and John Hines has had a chance to really have their first normal training camp and, you know, kind of build into where we are today. But it's kind of like Christmas when you buy that great present for your kids in the summer, right? And you have 6 months to be excited about what it's going to mean to them. That's how I was, you know, with this team and our fans. I knew they were going to fall in love with them. I knew we were a very talented team, a good team. And not a lot of people thought that in August, September, maybe even October, you know, an opening week. And it's fun to unleash this team on our league for our fans to celebrate, because I don't care who you are or what you are or what type of hockey you like, you have to like how we play, what we do for each other, and that's the real key. The guys are playing for each other, and if you're not enjoying this team right now, then, you know, you need to go to the emergency room because you have no pulse. It's just such an exciting team to watch and see them perform. You know, as Pekka said last night, the future of our crease is really bright because of Juice, and then, you know, you have the best defenseman in the league. Our forwards are playing better than a lot of people thought they would or could. And, you know, our biggest players are putting themselves on stage to do what they should do and could do, and something that we knew they would do when we signed them. So it's a fun, fun team. And like you said, you know, it's been a great week. But in the second period against Florida the other night, a lot of people are thinking, oh, my gosh, we lose this game. It's going to ruin the entire week. A, it wouldn't have. But B, it made the week a lot better by winning in Florida. And then again, last night by winning has set us up for a really enjoyable weekend.
Yep, no question about it. Just incredible night last night at Bridgestone Arena. Looking forward to the Stadium Series and the spectacle that will be tomorrow as well. Sean Hendry, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Sean, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Nah, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for inviting me on at 9 a.m. But I will tell you, next time we retire a player's number, I will not come on the radio at 9 a.m. I don't know if you can tell by my voice. It was a fun night last night celebrating Peck and his family. So next time we'll do the afternoon show, right?
That's right. That sounds like
a thing. Yeah, Timonen was getting after it, so you can tell, man, right away.
good stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate you, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Sean Henry, Predators president and CEO, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll come back, react to what Sean had to say, look ahead to the matchup tomorrow for the Predators against the Tampa Bay Lightning. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's as the neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds game. Jasper's located on Weston Avenue, equipped with TVs, a game room available for private events, a grab-and-go market, and free parking. Yes, free parking downtown. This neighborhood spot is Nashville's new go-to restaurant and bar. You can try their selection of elevated bar food ranging from appetizers to chicken sandwiches to great flatbread pizzas and the famous Smash Burger, as well as any of their delicious cocktails. So visit my friends at Jasper's, located at 1918 Weston Avenue, and tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Text in SEC now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament for Session 1, Games 1 and 2 at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Wednesday, March the 2nd. Text now SEC to 615-737-1025 to be qualified to win. Thanks to Sean Henry for joining us in the last segment. Joe, what do you think this game is going to be like tomorrow? Obviously, the first outdoor hockey game in the history of the state of Tennessee. You've got the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning coming in. Lightning got a big win the other night after they were off for 8 days before that game. So not much hockey being played lately by the Tampa Bay Lightning. What do you think about this matchup for the Predators, winners of two in a row taking on the Lightning tomorrow?
Well, you go from one of the best teams in the league in the toughest place to win, which, by the way, Florida, maybe the Preds broke Florida, you know, like the Titans broke the Rams. Florida lost a second straight home game after that. But you go from that to a division rival and a super intense and defensive checking game. And now you go to the defending champs. I agree with what Crispy said. I mean, ultimately, all this stuff's going to be amazing. It's going to be a fantastic environment. It looks so cool in there. I'm really looking forward today. Go check out Preds practice today, this afternoon there. And then the puck drops, and you know, it's the Nashville Predators against the Tampa Bay Lightning in another kind of measure up game. So I think it should be a good game. I mean, I think it means something if the Preds can win this game, you know, and it means something to measure yourself against this team. It hasn't been maybe as dominant a season as Tampa Bay would like, but they are still, you know, this is still the Tampa Bay Lightning and most of last year's team, and still very capable of winning the whole thing.
Yeah, they're very, very good, and they're starting to round into form as well. Tampa Bay it's a big test for the Predators. They're going to be well rested. I mean, this is a big time game for the Predators tomorrow. Look, you know, and I think back to the Dallas game of the Winter Classic a couple years ago, and I know a lot of Predators fans went down there for that. You know, obviously they didn't win the game. And that does, you know, it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. I think for the most part, people really enjoyed the experience anyway. And I think a lot of tomorrow, if you're a fan, is about the experience itself and what's going to be going on around the stadium and Winter Park over by Bridgestone Arena. Like, it's just going to be a really cool day tomorrow surrounding this game. So separate of that, you know, the result itself, is it going to ruin everything if the Predators lose? No, I don't think it will. But, man, how sweet would this week be if you could roll off 3 wins in a row and have Pecorino have his jersey retired in an outdoor game and you roll off wins in all those games? That'd be pretty darn amazing. Oh, by the way, you beat one of the best teams in the league on the road on Tuesday to get it all started. That would be – it'd be up there in terms of the most impressive weeks in franchise history.
Yeah, I mean, you – right. Like, if you beat Tampa Bay now, you beat two of the three teams that are probably two of the three most likely from the East to be in the Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
Fair to say. So yeah, that'd be a heck of a week. All right, again, already a great week. Now granted, thankfully John Hines has avoided his firing. That was clearly right on the right.
I was just about to text you guys that, Joe. That's actually funny.
You know, I mean, John Hines has saved his job this week. Yeah. Pecorino, there's a lot going on with the Preds. Really, really impressive. That is sarcasm for someone who's just like tuning in and hasn't heard us clowning Jared's take on that.
Yes.
Previously, sometimes it's like maybe you should
disclaimer.
Qualify something. Yeah, a little bit of a disclaimer.
Yeah, reiterate, John Hines is still the coach and not getting fired.
Yeah, and what would not have been. But look, it's big. Obviously, last night, I guess you prefer a regulation win, so you can have a 6-point lead over Dallas instead of a 5-point lead. But a 5-point lead sounds better than a 3-point lead. Well, yeah. If you lose the shutout. But, you know, that's important. And, that's the thing. Look, these events, I mean, it's a fantastic spectacle and buildup. And then everybody gets into the competition, you know, and then it's important. It's important to win that game. And I think John Hines had a really, speaking of Hines, the still employed coach of the Nashville Predators, I think he had an interesting comment last night. I think someone asked about pressure. I don't know who, maybe it was you. I was still up on Press Row trying to file and on Zoom.
I think
Zoom.
It was Gentry, yeah.
Okay. And he had an interesting comment, which is kind of like, well, look, if you think you're going to do something, you know, and do something meaning do something in the spring of a particular season, then, you know, these are the moments that, like, you can, and I'm just doing a terrible job of paraphrasing, but basically, like, these are the moments that you kind of relish because you get to see how you do when there's pressure. There was a lot of pressure last night. I think there was actually more pressure on them last night than there will be Saturday, because like, you just don't want to let Pecorine down, right? And I mean, it was a close to the vest grinder of a game. I suspect we're going to see a little bit more fluid hockey Saturday, a little bit less pressure, but still a huge opportunity. And to that point of Hines, like, these are the moments, best teams, big events, more people watching, more media, all that stuff. You should be excited about those games, because it can say something about, you know, what will you do when it's absolutely the most important hockey you could possibly play, which is in the postseason.
Yeah, I think you said, you know, good teams play their best when the stakes are the highest, and the stakes have been pretty high for the Predators this week, and that's going to continue to be the case as they go down the stretch here. You know, the ice part of it, from what everything I've been told, and from, you know, obviously I'm not out there on the ice over at Nissan Stadium, but apparently the rain has not really affected the ice all that much. So apparently the ice is in good shape. You know, hopefully at some point in the next, you know, few hours, it stops raining all over the place and snowing like it was when I walked in this morning. That'd be great. But I think weather-wise tomorrow, based on the last thing that I saw, hopefully the rain holds off. But temperature-wise, I don't know that you could ask for much better if you're the NHL tomorrow. I mean, I think it's going to be pretty ideal conditions for an outdoor game tomorrow from the NHL standpoint, which, as we talked about when this game was announced in Nashville, I mean, it could be 75 degrees in late February. It could be 2. You don't really know where it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to hit freezing at 9 tonight. It's supposed to be dry all the way through, and then it's going to hit freezing at 9 tonight, dip into the 20s, which stinks in general, but for these purposes, not bad. Then you get up to 44 tomorrow, so pretty ideal hockey weather. Wear those layers.
Wear those layers for sure. When we come back,
Tampa Bay fans, you coming from Florida, wear those layers.
That's right. When we come back, it is time for Weekend Winners. We'll have some picks for you. Busy weekend in the world of sports coming up over the weekend. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. The all-new Paint the Town Preds Pack presented by Yeehaw Brewing and Old Smoky. You can purchase the pack. It is available now and receive 2 weekend game tickets and 1 weeknight game ticket of your choice, plus receive a Preds car flag, a $25 Yeehaw Brewing Company gift card, and the opportunity to purchase 2022-23 season tickets. You can visit NashvillePredators.com/paint. To secure yours today, get your Paint the Town Preds pack today and score your own hat trick, Smashville. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of action in the world of sports this weekend. Got the Stadium Series here in town. Some big college basketball games as well. Everything on the table. Joe Rex Road, our first week of Weekend Winners has come and gone. Give us a quick standings update on how we did in our first edition last week.
Yeah, I thought I was in the lead by myself, but I'm not, because Michelle also went 4-2 with 5 points. So we actually all got our locks, but Michelle and I both went 4-2. You went 3-3. So we have 5 points. You have 4 points.
Very early in the competition.
Very early.
With that in mind, let's get rolling today on Weekend Winners. We'll start with the Stadium Series game coming up tomorrow between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Nashville Predators over at Nissan Stadium. Going on the puck line for this. Michelle, you kick us off here. Who you got, the Lightning or the Predators tomorrow in the Stadium Series matchup?
Listen, I'm loving the momentum in Nashville right now. Two wins this week so far. We got the Stadium Series tomorrow. Outdoor, it's going to be a huge event. I'm taking the Preds on this one. Also, I'm going to be in attendance, and I'm so excited. Give me the Preds on the puck line.
So the Preds getting it done tomorrow against Tampa Bay. Joe Rexroad, big week for the Predators, taking on the Lightning tomorrow. Who you got in this matchup, Tampa Bay or Nashville?
I sense a very homerish outcome here. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Preds. I think the Preds, this is another big game, tough game, great opponent. I like how they have adjusted this week and found some things. They need to find their power play again, but I think that they will. I think they'll get a big power play goal and win this 4-3.
I think it's going to be a great game. I expect it to be one of the better outdoor hockey games that we've seen. When Tampa Bay really cares about something over the course of the last couple of years, it's hard for me to bet against them. Give me the Lightning tomorrow on the puck line. I think the Lightning win 3-2.
You saved us from being complete outright homers. Good job, buddy.
3-2 win tomorrow for the Lightning. We'll see if I'm wrong or not. I know Predators fans hope that I am.
Such a Debbie Downer.
Yeah. Well, Forsberg's going to have a hat trick, so I'm not sure how that's going to happen, Rob.
That is true.
can still lose against that team.
Philip Forsberg will be actively shopping for a hat trick tomorrow against Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, Auburn taking on Tennessee tomorrow as well at Thompson Bowling Arena. Big matchup. Rick Barnes, Bruce Pearl, Joe Rexroad, kick us off here. Who do you have on the money line, Auburn or Tennessee?
Vols and make it my lock.
Oh, boy.
I think the Vols are going to kick their butt. There's a little bit of they have heard for a few days now. They're well aware of Bruce Pearl and his success against Tennessee. I mean, the title game here, you know, three years ago, after the incredible semifinal win over Kentucky, that one stands out, just a thumping. I think that they're going to get a little payback on that. And you know, Auburn is kind of up and down. They're great. They can win it, but they haven't played their best lately. I think the Vols are ready to ambush them.
I'm going to Auburn tomorrow. I think Bruce Pearl just has their number. I think Bruce Pearl gets it done tomorrow. I think they hit some big shots coming down the stretch. Auburn looks more like the Auburn team that we saw a few weeks ago before the inconsistencies crept in. I think Tennessee gets their first loss at Thompson Bowling Arena tomorrow. Give me the Auburn Tigers on the money line. Michelle, I think we know where you're going, but Auburn or Tennessee tomorrow?
See, actually, this one has been really, really hard for me. Obviously, in Call Your Shot, I said that Jabari Smith's going to hit a three to win. But then we also talked earlier in this week how home court advantage is just huge in college basketball, especially this time of year. The Vols are rolling, but I do think Auburn is going to have a slight edge. I think it's going to be a really close game. But give me Auburn by two. I think they're going to win by.
Auburn by two.
Yeah. Don't pretend you're not making another Vols hater pick. Come on. I mean, you can talk all around it. You're a Vols hater. It's fine.
Joe, and you are a Vols homer.
GB Joe. GB Joe, in effect. Joe's got Tennessee winning tomorrow by 25 against Auburn. Good stuff.
He wishes.
Good stuff.
Speaking of GB Joe, I wonder if Keith has seen the what my name was on the internet earlier today. That's a very Keith-like name.
Yeah. Doe Rexed.
It was beautiful. Well, I don't even know how to say it. We might tweet it out. It was great stuff.
One of my coworkers said it's my Star Wars name.
Yes. All right, Vandy and Mississippi State taking place tomorrow as well. I'll start with this one. Give me Vandy. I like what I've seen from Vandy as of late. I like the way Liam Robbins has come in and asserted himself, started to get rolling offensively as well. I will go Vanderbilt to get it done against Mississippi State. Michelle Knezvik, Vandy and Mississippi State. Who do you have on the money line?
This one was pretty easy for me. Give me Vandy as well, Robbie. I've actually loved what I've been seeing from Vanderbilt. They really have turned around their season, especially with the addition of Liam Robbins. They look pretty good, and hopefully Ronnie Chapman gets in sooner than later, make a little run in the SEC tournament. But give me Vandy on the money line.
Joe Rexroad, the Doors taking on the Bulldogs tomorrow. Who you got on the money line?
I mean, I like what I'm seeing from Vandy, too, and certainly Robbins makes a difference. And I think they're a dangerous team here. down the stretch, and I think they're definitely a potential spoiler in Florida. But I'm going to go with Mississippi State. Mississippi State at home. I know it's an early game, so maybe it doesn't mean as much, but that is a good home court advantage for them. Mississippi State, 16-12. You know, they're a little bit more realistic to try to get themselves into bubble discussion than Vanderbilt. I think they win a close game at home.
We now move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle Knezovic, you're up first. Your first individual selection of the weekend, is it Kentucky?
Oh, heck yes it is, Robbie Stanley. Did you see my face just light up with a big smile?
Of course. As soon as I started talking about it, I knew where you were going.
Of course Kentucky is my first pick. Okay, Kentucky, Arkansas. It is at Arkansas, and this is going to be really tough for me to watch because I get so stressed and I'm really nervous for this game. But give me Kentucky on the money line. These last two games, they've been down by like 10 plus points, LSU, Alabama. And without their starting backcourt, they have really shown the depth they have on the team. And I think they can handle this weekend. And I think if they get a win, this is going to be another big statement win for them as they head into tournament time and March. Oh, and make it my lock, actually.
Oh, locking down.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Yep, there it is. Locking it down.
Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Well, first of all, I'm going all college hoops because while we have college hoops as part of this, I'm going to try to take advantage. Gonzaga at St. Mary's, big rivalry. The only chance usually, especially on the road, for Gonzaga to lose in that conference. But I just watched Chet Holmgren like go coast to coast like a 6'1 guard and then go dunk on an entire team like the 7-footer he is. Give me Gonzaga.
So going Gonzaga on the money line. Really taking a leap of faith there. Really good stuff.
It's a road. It's a rivalry road
Joe.
Game. Come on.
Why don't you play a little closer game, Joe?
The number one team in the country is going to win on the road. There you go. Good stuff.
Tragic.
Come on, do Arkansas-Kentucky, Joe. Let's see what you got.
Oh, I love it. I'm just messing with you. All right, my first pick, I will go the Miami Heat, -5.5 against the Knicks. I like the way the Heat are playing right now. I think, you know, everybody's talking about the Nets and everybody's talking about the Sixers. That's great. The Heat, pretty darn good in the Eastern Conference. Give me the Heat, -5.5 tonight against the New York Knicks. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Okay, Creighton, Providence. I know Providence is a higher-ranked team. Providence has had a really good season, but actually they've really been wobbly and iffy. Creighton matches up well against them. I'm still going to go Providence. Give me the Friars.
Going with Providence in the matchup. Michelle, your second individual selection.
I am switching to the NBA, so we got some lines there. Suns, Pelicans. Suns are favored by 7. I know that they're not going to have Chris Paul, but New Orleans Pelicans, they are just kind of a dumpster fire down there with all the Zion stuff coming out.
It's not going well.
Just not going well down there. I think this is going to be an easy one for the Suns. I also think that they're going to make a run in the West. So give me the Suns, -7.
I'm going to NHL tonight. The Blue Jackets went into Florida last night and trounced the Florida Panthers. So that's now back-to-back home losses for the Panthers. They are on the road again tonight in a back-to-back. Taking on Carolina. That's a heck of a back-to-back. Give me Carolina -1.5. I think they win by multiple goals tonight. Give me Carolina -1.5 against Columbus and make it my lock. I'm locking down on Rod Brindamore and the Carolina Hurricanes tonight to win by 2 or more. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Well, I guess I'm big on the Mississippi schools. Texas A&M, it's been a tough year for Kermit's crew. They're playing a Texas A&M team that has been better and is having a better season, but give me Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss takes advantage of a rare opportunity to get a win in this league, try to get some momentum going before the SEC tournament. Give me Ole Miss and Mississippi State in my picks this week.
Big Mississippi guy. Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach would be proud of Joe Rexroad this weekend. There's no question about it. All right, my final pick, give me the Colorado Avalanche tonight, -1.5 against Winnipeg. Colorado is at home. Obviously, they're playing really well. And I think Winnipeg, if they're not careful, they're on the verge of maybe really falling out of this thing pretty quickly. So give me Colorado tonight, -1.5 against Winnipeg. Michelle Knezovic, your final individual selection.
One of the primetime college basketball games tomorrow, #5 Kansas against #10 Baylor. Very excited for this game. It's at Baylor. And is it college game day? I would assume it's probably college game day. Not sure.
I don't know.
But Give me Baylor on this one. I think that they're going to come out with the win. I know Kansas is ranked fifth, but I think Baylor's got this one.
There you go. So going with Baylor in this matchup. This has been Weekend Winners. I almost said Pigskin Pick'em. We don't want to go back to that competition.
Yes, we do.
No.
We do not.
It's a new era.
It is. I got a texter that says, it's already a Weekend Winner. Coach John Hines with two wins in a row to get off the fictitious Jared Stillman hot seat. So John Hines, already a winner here on Weekend Winners. Good stuff.
Whoo! Sigh of relief, John Hines. You don't need a home shop anymore.
No. Nope.
You can tell the real estate agent to calm down. Everything's fine.
Tell the moving truck to take it back to where they came from. Don't need it anymore. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. ESPN 1025 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 for the Wise Power 400 at the Auto Club Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Chase does an outstanding job with Chasing Checkers, so make sure you check that out coming up on Sunday morning. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Joe, lots going on this weekend. The Stadium Series, big-time college basketball matchups. Let's get into the Tennessee-Auburn matchup. You're confident in the Vols this week. Why are you so confident in the Vols, and what do you think the key to victory is against, obviously, an extremely talented Auburn team?
Well, look, I mean, they haven't lost in that building this year, and the wins include over two teams that could be one seeds, Arizona and Kentucky. They probably both won't be one seeds, but they're both in the mix. I mean, these are national title contenders. I just have a feeling about it based on Auburn kind of having a little bit of a February lull. I mean, they've still found a way to win most of these games, but they haven't been great on the road. They could have a couple more losses easily right now. And I think this is, I like the matchups too. I mean, I think Tennessee has the two guards who can run with their two guards. They have the stretch 4-3-4 guy who can actually do a pretty good job on Jabari Smith. I think the bigs, that'll be a big part of tomorrow. Who steps up inside? Because it's just, I mean, Walker Kessler is not a John Fulkerson matchup. John Fulkerson can flop around and stuff, but I mean,
hey, that might work in college basketball.
Well, that's true. I mean, hey, believe me, if Fulkerson is anywhere near Walker Kessler, flop your heart out, Johnny F, because you know how these college refs do. But I think that Plavsic, they have guys that can throw at him at least. They have fouls they can use. I just have a feeling that they're sick of – they know what people say about Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes. They know the history of the series. And I think they're going to be really amped up to go at Auburn. And look, Auburn is – I mean, Auburn is kind of they're inconsistent in shot selection. And sometimes turnovers, they can also just go on incredible runs. And that's why they're a title contender. But, you can get good shots against Auburn.
You can. I'm interested to see if Kennedy Chandler can keep it going. He's been awesome the last couple of games. Last time out, I think he played probably the best game of his career so far. Can he keep that going offensively? And if so, if that's the way he's going to play, and I'm not talking about necessarily, 23 points in every game, but if that's the way that he's going to play coming down the stretch, what can that do for this Tennessee team? And we talk about it all the time. Guard play is so important this time of year with him and, Vescovy and Ziegler playing the way that they've played. If this is the version of Kennedy Chandler that we're going to see coming down the stretch, that's a pretty massive deal for this Tennessee team.
Might not be great for next year's Tennessee team.
May not be.
I've in my mind, I've expected this to be a one-year stop in college for Kennedy Chandler. But if everyone agrees, as the mock draft folks did a few weeks ago, it seemed that he's more of a second round pick. Yeah. You can make the case to come back. Let's talk some name, image, likeness, cash and come back for a big sophomore season. But he's playing like he did the other night. I don't see him getting out of the first round. I don't, he's a special player in the making. He's young and you expect freshmen to have their ups and downs and take some time. It's not easy to be Rick Barnes' point guard, but that's a good thing because Rick Barnes makes point guards better, and this is a special talent. So, yeah, if he's going to play like this, they have a lot of pieces and a lot of things that kind of fit together, I think, for a chance at a run.
Joe, tough loss last night for Belmont. They fall 76-43 at the hands of Murray State. We talked about it going into the game. Murray State is really good. They're number 19 in the country. They hammered Belmont at Belmont earlier this year. But another tough shooting night for Belmont. They fall. I mean, they lose by 33 points. So their chances of, to me, an at-large bid are pretty much over at this point. You got to go win the OVC title. And, you know, it's tough to imagine at 27-2 overall and 17-0 in the OVC, it's tough to imagine anybody taking down Murray State. Man, Murray State is – they are really, really good.
They are. I mean, I think they're trending to be like an 8-9 team that could, you know, could get out of that and make give a scare to a one seed in the second game. And obviously, usually out of the OVC, you're hoping for like a 12-13, you know. But they are they're very good. I'm stunned, though. I'm stunned at how poorly Belmont played and how they got absolutely just run twice by Murray State. You're just not used to seeing that. I mean, this is the largest margin for Murray over Belmont, it's just surprising given the veterans that Belmont has. So they've got some, you know, I think that they've struggled to find a four, and certainly as Casey Alexander told us this week, you know, that just the shots are not falling. So it's next weekend. It is, you got to win the thing to get in. It would be a real shame for Grayson Murphy and Nick Mazinski to play in one NCAA tournament in their careers, going all the way back to, you know, to 2019. But that's what it's looking like.
That is what it's looking like, and that would be heavily disappointing, no question about it. Stadium Series coming up tomorrow. Michelle, first time in an outdoor hockey game for you. I'm interested. There's going to be a lot of people. It's the first outdoor hockey game for tomorrow. It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm so excited. My friend from New York, she flew in last night. She's a Tampa fan, though. So we're going to be sitting next to each other. I'll be in my Preds jersey. She'll be in her Tampa jersey. But so excited. Neither of us have been. We're both big hockey fans. But I'm excited. I'm really, really excited for it. I think it's going to be an awesome event in Nashville.
I went and parked for the game yesterday. And, you know, pulling in the parking spot and the car in front of me, you know, it's covered in, like, you know, bumper stickers and all this stuff. It's the Lightning on the top left, another Lightning in the middle, and like two Preds things on the bottom. I was like, well, this is like, you cannot hand select a better game for whoever this person is.
Split family.
Big, wow. Big Lightning / Predators fans. How many of those do you think there are?
Hey.
Four in that family?
Yeah, that's an interesting split. A house divided, huh? Yeah, so they've been waiting for this one.
I'm interested to see how many people from Tampa show up. Nate tweeted us in earlier and said, he thinks that Tampa Bay sold their allotment of tickets, which I'm sure they have. I mean, the Predators did when they went down to Dallas. I think it's going to be, you know, I know when it's, you know, a game at Bridgestone or a game like that, and, you know, I think back to the Detroit days or Chicago days where there are a lot of opposing fans in your building. I think it's pretty annoying when you're a home fan and it's in your arena. I will say for an outdoor event, I thought the fact that there were a lot of Preds fans down in Dallas, I thought that made the atmosphere great. I think the atmosphere, if there's a lot of Tampa Bay fans, I think the atmosphere at Nissan Stadium is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes those, you know, like a really good bowl game where it's kind of split, those are great atmospheres. It's the back and forth within the crowd. So I think that'll be great. Sounds like they're going to be here in big numbers. So the more the merrier. Real quick before we go, I got to shout out Teresa Walker. Thank you, Teresa, for jumping in and yelling at Paul Kaharski on Twitter for me. So I appreciate that. Now, Teresa usually stays out of the fray, but today she got in there and mixed it up with PK.
I've not seen this Twitter fight. PK. I'm going to have to catch up. It's hard to keep up with Rex Rhodes Twitter fights. It's a daily occurrence.
Well, yeah, Rex, you have so many mentions and threads. Yeah, I can't follow.
It's unbelievable.
It's hard to keep up with Kaharski's old man screaming at cloud complaints. He's like, you know, no one should get their number retired. No one should have a statue. And the Yankees have 97 numbers retired. Whatever, man. Good job, Teresa. Thank you.
I'm still trying to get over, you know, Rex Rhodes going on that major limb in the last segment of Gonzaga taking down St. Mary's. That was special stuff that we saw last week.
You throw out the records in a rivalry.
Joe.
Gonzaga's going to win by about 17. It's like, oh, good.
This is like when
Gonzaga checked down St. Mary.
Joe, this is like when you thought picking Maction on Pigskin Pick'em. You're like, oh, I'm just going to pick these games and I'm going to get the win. But it doesn't matter because, oh, wait. Yeah, Robbie and I still beat you. Both
really,
for Pigskin
really
Pick'em.
Going out on a limb there, Rex. I'd love it.
Hey. It's not my fault that they don't put these point spreads out, okay? Trying to game the system. I hope St. Mary's wins now. They're at home.
I probably totally screwed myself in this competition this weekend because all three of my individual picks had a spread attached to them, and none of y'all did. Like, didn't take one with a spread.
Yeah, because that's what you get from
actually,
being
Michelle
a college basketball hater.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a college basketball hater, then you're going to suffer for it.
Hey, I picked one college basketball game last week. Don't even remember who it was, and I got it right.
Kent State and Ohio.
Kent State and Ohio. Have some of that.
You did get
with
that.
The spread.
That was a great Maxion pick. Great Maxion
with
pick.
With the spread. Just want to point that out.
That's a good point.
Big competition.
Here. We love college basketball.
Look, I have no problem with college basketball. I have no problem with it. I just wish that there's a little bit more stakes attached to the Gonzaga St. Mary's pick because it's a free one for Rexrode. But that's fine.
Other than hating it, you have no problem with it.
That's going to do it for us this week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back Monday, have a lot to talk about. The stadium series will be completed at that point, we think. NFL Combine next week. Going to be a big week next week here on the show. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Be safe out there if you're going to the game. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.